This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 181, where we're going to talk to Ben Nylon about the world of Office 365 migration, recorded live from Nintex Inspire Conference, Inspire X even.
The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by ShareGate. ShareGate makes it easier for organizations to adopt and use the latest Microsoft productivity tools, helping millions of users to be happier and more productive at work. ShareGate is trusted by over 10,000 IT admins from over 110 countries to manage, migrate, and secure their SharePoint and Office 365 environments. ShareGate is recognized as the must-have tool for day-to-day administration of on-premises, cloud, and hybrid environments. Interested in learning more? Check them out at ShareGate.com to learn how ShareGate can make you more productive.
Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Welcome, Ben.
Yeah, it's great to finally get you on the show and talk a little bit about Office 365 migration.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy again to be here.
We are in a hotel room here in not exactly sunny, but kind of overcast New Orleans. But it's for me, it's nice to get out of the cool Washington weather and come down to
I just escaped a snowstorm, so quite happy.
There you go.
This is just like home, just a couple hours west from me.
Yeah, you have it easy.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're recording this live from the Nintex InspireX conference, which is Nintex's annual conference down here in New Orleans, where they talk about everything going on in the workflow world. But we thought we'd take the opportunity to sit down with you and talk a little bit about migration and Office 365 and what's going on in that world.
Yeah, we're seeing definitely a lot of that happening these days, simply because there's a lot going on Office 365. And, you know, the SharePoint on-premises release, though there is one, I think when we all saw SharePoint 2016 come out, we're like, yes. Obviously, now we know there's feature packs coming out, but initially it was kind of clear that, you know, the move was headed towards Office 365 and everything else that's up there. So, you know, seeing and just met with a couple of customers, even one in Iceland recently. Mm-hmm. And it's quite interesting because we're not just seeing people moving their SharePoint to the cloud or to Office 5. A lot of people are also completely changing the way that they work. It's like a trend. You know, they keep talking about the buzzword digital transformation.
Yeah.
But I'm actually, you know, it looks like it's not. It's not just a buzzword. It looks like people are actually doing it. It's pretty cool.
So they're kind of taking the opportunity rather than just saying, hey, we're just going to lift and shift what we've got. They're saying, well, when we do move to 365, we also may want to figure out new ways of working together, doing things a little differently, not just kind of replicate what we got on-prem to the cloud.
Exactly. I'll give you a good example just because it's fresh. And again, it's Íslandsbanki in Iceland. They have a office where you just coming to work every morning, you don't have an assigned seat. Mm-hmm. You can take any desk anywhere, basically go work with people you need to work for whatever project you're working on. So activity-based workplace. If you're going to a meeting during your day of work that you have and the meeting is going to be over 90 minutes, basically, if you're not going to be at your desk for over 90 minutes, then somebody can take your stuff and sit at your spot instead. Yeah. Very, very interesting. And of course, that kind of brings forth the new vision that we can see with Office 365 groups, where it's a lot more, you know, activity-based. You've got a team, you've got a project, you spin up the Office 365 group, and you just use whatever you need for your team, whether it's a calendar, whether it's going to be the SharePoint piece for the files, whether it's going to be the conversations with Microsoft Teams or Outlook or Yammer or whatever you're going to use for that team or that project. And it's very much oriented this way rather than what we historically saw where, yes, I have SharePoint licenses, therefore I will turn everything into SharePoint.
Yeah, the old SharePoint hammer.
Yeah, the old SharePoint hammer. So it's interesting to see, I think, people that are doing that migration, they're going to have to look at not just bringing their on-premises, their thousands of maybe their SharePoint team sites, but their intranet. And as they move forward, they're going to be looking at, okay, well, you know, SharePoint now automatically comes with an Office 365 group when you create a new site collection. So do I just migrate up there?
Yeah.
Or do I completely change the way that we essentially work and collaborate? And that's what we're seeing a lot. When the migration is often the easy part, right? The lift and shift. You've got, you know, ShareGate obviously is one of those tools that you drag and drop your site collections or just your content types or your Nintex workflows, whatever that you have. And that's essentially the easy part. The hard part is going to be planning everything out and seeing how are you going to transition from just having SharePoint site collections everywhere. And a lot of the people that I've seen in the past, they have the vertical SharePoint kind of environment where they have one site collection with 200 subsites per project, per business unit.
Yeah.
And that's not really what we're seeing in Office 5. Office 5 is really about the flat kind of hierarchy, if you want, where it's always a new site collection, and then you're going to regroup it using something else, like Azure Web Service. You're going to create a website, and you're going to create an intranet that rolls things up. Maybe you're going to use search. Maybe you're going to use anything you want. But it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. That actually reminds me a lot about when people were talking about SharePoint for the first time and moving from file shares, right? They were like, well, do we just lift and shift all of the hierarchy that we've got into SharePoint?
Yeah.
And some did that, you know, and ended up with a complete mess. And others went, let's not move anything and then see what people need and they can bring it over.
Yeah.
And then the third category is obviously like, you know, they went and did some more intelligent picking of what to move. So it's interesting that that's kind of happening again, except with the shift to from on-prem to the cloud.
Based work. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not about just individual products. It's really about the whole thing.
Are you seeing more people, like, it's one of these transitions that we saw that Office 365 really promoted this, like you're saying, more of a flat organization of all the groups or sites that are coming out instead of having this more hierarchy approach.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had that since Office 365 first came out. And we're starting, are you saying that with groups, we're seeing that more now that people are actually embracing that?
Yeah.
And not just trying to figure out, how do we make this work? It's more that, oh, we need to embrace this. And then how do we change our business to actually make this work? And it's making them more productive?
Yeah, I think when groups has gained popularity now and teams kind of refreshed everything again by reintroducing the concept of groups, I think it made people start to think about what they're doing a little bit more, if I can say it like that. They're, instead of just moving on, because we were always like, okay, we got SharePoint 2007, we just upgrade to 2010, we just upgrade to 2013, just upgrade to 2016 maybe. But now we have to look at it and say, okay, wait, what is this group thing? And what is it proposing? Oh, it's proposing group-based working, group-based, you know, activity-based. You get a project you work on, you spin up a group, you get all these products. Mm. Instead of focusing on one individual Microsoft product, they focus on what does, you know, the group want, if I can say it like that. And what's even better is that all of the security policies that they're building, they're also not based on the individual products, but they're like the classification list are there so that you can assign a security policy to the classification that will affect the entire suite of products that the team's working on. Because if you're a team working on highly sensitive material or, you know, that you're under export control, it's not just the SharePoint piece you got to control. It's obviously everything that team's working on.
Yeah.
So that's the direction that everything is going. It's based on the activity, based on the work, and not based on the product itself. So the first big thing is when moving to Office 5 is to step back and not just look at, can I migrate my SharePoint to the next SharePoint? It's really, how are we going to re-architect everything? So that's, I would say, the first piece.
How do you see organizations actually, you know, embracing this? I mean, we talk about you're seeing people doing it now, but how are they embracing with the change within the business that they're trying to employ to be able to take advantage of groups better than what they're doing today?
I think we're still at the very beginning. So I'm only seeing a couple of organizations that are willing to go all in because, like I said, like the office, for example, also has to embrace this approach of activity-based work because if you enable this project-based or group-based work and then you still have the traditional model, if you want, top-down, and it's going to be a big transition for not just IT, it's going to be for HR, it's going to be for every department, if you like. Just a couple of weeks ago, another customer, we had to make them realize that, hey, the SharePoint team is going to have to start talking to the Exchange team. It's going to have to talk to Active Directory because now
here comes identity.
Because the new SharePoint site collections, which the SharePoint team controls, every time they create a new site collection now, it creates an object in Active Directory and it creates an email address in the Exchange, you know, directory if you want.
Yeah.
So hold on, now you've got to also merge everything together, not just push Office 5 groups and the way of work, but you got to start with yourself, and IT is already the first place to start if you want by talking to each other.
It must be pretty hard for some organizations, right?
Because
there are some admins, so there's some Exchange admins and identity and AD admins.
Yeah.
They're very flexible.
I mean, I've never been told no by them.
You just met with a blank stare?
That's right. You want a what with my directory?
Yeah.
So yeah, it must be quite an upheaval internally for some of these companies to deal with.
Absolutely.
You know, these things working together, they've never had that before.
Yeah, it's going to be a big challenge, a big transition, and That's why I think I kept hearing the buzzword, you know, digital workplace or transformation.
Yeah.
And I always kind of laughed a little bit, like, oh, what does that mean? And but when you're actually seeing it, you're seeing that, you know, technology is changing. And I have this slide. I have one slide somewhere. and it's like a funny message. And it says at the bottom, it's somebody chasing a kind of the bus. And at the bottom right, it says, brought to you by Blockbuster. Right? So... You can.
Guess they're not around to come after us.
You gotta. Of course, there's that transition, and it's hard to change ourselves as well. Me too. Yeah. I'm like the SharePoint person. I don't want to. You start going to my hub transport service and my, you know, mailbox unified messaging. I don't want to go back to the world of Exchange that I used to work in, but. I have to realize that that's the way it's going. Just like many things are changing. You know, I at a hackathon recently, they were building bots using the bot framework integrated with SharePoint on a page so that you could talk to it and it would start creating your Office 5 group just by talking to it. So everything's completely changing and it's really interesting to see that direction.
So with this, I mean, you're saying, you know, being able to spin up groups really easy. Are you seeing organizations having to spend more time, like having some sort of a process around like how groups are being created, like in planning stuff and the naming conventions and stuff like that, instead of just letting anybody go through and create a group? I mean, what are you seeing on the spectrum there of organizations trying to put that kind of some sort of structure around it versus just saying, hey, go at it, just use the best you see.
Yeah, obviously, it depends on the company's culture. We'll see some in the educational space, they just leave it open. So they have like a subdomain for students, and students can just create Office 5 groups whenever they want to create a team together and start working. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, okay, everybody in the class, you're going to have to break into teams and deliver a project by March. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody creates a group. They got a calendar, they got a place for files, they can take it offline, they got conversations, they got Teams chat. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So they leave it open. And then you got other organization, let's say, I don't know, pharma, where it's like, okay, nobody can create groups. You got to go through a process where you have business power users, if you want, that have received training, and they're going to identify the requirement and see whether or not they're going to create a new group, because you got to think of naming convention, the classifications that are going to go, the security policies, and a lot that's going to go into that as well, and not just the migration piece.
So not so much a one-size-fits-all. It's really depends on the industry, the company, the culture.
Of course, right? What groups brings is just a way to centralize membership and link multiple Microsoft products together. You still got to have some kind of mission internally, like a reason to put this in.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned a couple times, you mentioned Teams. I'm assuming you're talking about Microsoft Teams.
Microsoft Teams, yes.
Right. So I know you guys have written a lot about Teams on your blog and stuff. Can you talk a little bit about Teams and how you see that kind of playing into to groups and how that fits in?
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just be honest. Why not? Microsoft is basically, I wouldn't say necessarily woken up, but obviously with Satya, a lot has changed. And just kind of realized that there's a SaaS world out there. Mm-hmm. And that's trying to gnaw at the enterprise market, that's trying to get people by just being niched in whatever they do. So, you know, there's things that popped up like Slack. Obviously, that's quite popular. IRC chat-based, right? Then you have things like Trello, card-based task management, which, of course, I use as well. Mm. And then you have things like Pinterest that became popular, YouTube that became popular. And Microsoft's game is in the enterprise. So they said, what we're going to do is we're going to take these pieces and we're going to create an enterprise version of it. So, really, everything you see that an Office 5 group gives you is the best of the consumer pieces that we have grown to use. They know that there's a need for it because we've been using it. And there's the whole shadow IT problem is that departments have started using these other things. So obviously, the Microsoft Teams chat service is basically Slack. It's you create for each group, you've got your own little chat channel, and your team can start having live conversations. The Trello version for Office 5 is called Planner. It's card-based. You create your own columns. You move them across until the project or the task is essentially done, using your own columns to organize. Delve could be considered a little bit like Pinterest because you find your content, which is, you know, cards, and then you group them together in a board. You link the board to other people. So if there's somebody coming into the organization, you send them to the onboarding board, but the content's really in the HR side collection, the IT side collection, and YouTube, you've got the Office 5 video portal, and I could go on. I'm probably forgetting something.
That Pinterest analogy with Delve is interesting. I hadn't heard that before, but that does make a lot of sense. Yeah. That's really good. How do you see the adoption with Teams going, like with companies that are embracing groups? And are they jumping onto the Microsoft Teams product right away?
Or? Funny, I personally did not think that would go down like this. I thought it's probably going to take a little bit a while, because usually what I've seen Microsoft do often is they look at other products that are successful and then they just check mark the features off in their product. Mm. But there's a whole aspect of user experience that's often missing.
Right.
Like you can have the feature, but if people don't want to use it or it's not friendly to use, they usually skip over it. Mm. But surprisingly enough, Microsoft Teams has been, according to the stats that we've seen, according to some of the customers that, it's still in preview, obviously, but right. I've seen it quite working, quite yeah. popular yeah. within organizations. So yeah, I think this is going to be one for to stay.
Yeah, your point about Microsoft ticking some boxes and saying, oh yeah, we do that too, definitely rings true, right? But Teams seems a little bit different in their execution. Like they yeah. actually kind
they
of
actually
nailed
delivered
it
an MVP.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't right. just create a chat and then say, okay, we're in a couple of months, we're going to add an extra feature.
Right.
And then we're going to add an extra feature. They just brought the whole minimum viable product and mm-hmm. said, oh, people are using it. And now we can yeah. move on.
And
forward.
There's some stuff missing, right? And
yeah,
they'll go add that. But it was a pretty interesting and on-the-money execution. The thing that I think about that's interesting with Teams, and love your take on this, they don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
They just have to be 70% good.
Yeah.
Because you're an Office 365 customer, you're not going to go cobble together a bunch of other things if you've got a good enough solution. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're definitely hitting the mark in terms of that 70% waterline. And they're going to get, I feel like, going to get a lot of traction.
Absolutely. I think because they're centralizing membership in one place, and then they're going to centralize security policies in one place as well.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I always make an analogy with the movie The Matrix. So let's go there. Let's ruin everybody's movie for this show.
But please don't introduce Yammer into this. You're going to ruin my movie.
But essentially, The Matrix, what was that about? Is you got a choice. You got the blue pill. You got the red yeah. pill. You can stay in the world that IT provides you, mm-hmm. the architect, which is IT essentially, is computers. They said, look, you can stay in the world we provided you, or you can be a rebel and go in Zion. But at the end of the trilogy, we realized that both choices are offered by IT, by the architect. Mm. He said, you can go in the Matrix or you can be a little rebel, but you're still in the world that I control. Mm. I've planned all of this. And that's what I see Office 365 groups doing. Because before we would say, SharePoint 80-20, it's going to serve 80% of all your needs. And then it's not the reality. People can't do everything in SharePoint. SharePoint is great, but not that great at everything. Mm. Right? It's great for lists and libraries and especially document co-authoring pages as well. But it's not a task management tool. It's not, you know, the SharePoint calendar I personally very much dislike. Mm-hmm. So by saying, look, you have the choice. You've got your team, you've got your activity that you're about to work on. We're going to give you a package of tools and you choose red pill, blue pill, whatever pills. You choose what you guys want to use, mm-hmm. but you're still using the centralized membership. I still have security policies based on classification that apply to and the email piece and the SharePoint piece. Maybe in the future, it's going to be integrated to Teams because that uses Skype technology. And I remember when I used to work on OCS, Office Communication Server, that wow. we also had policies that we... So I could see being able to set policies at the activity level mm-hmm. on the work you're doing and not on the product you're using. And that's the vision I think that they have that will make sense. And yeah, it won't have all the features, but...
So, and one of the things, you started to kind of go on a theme here. I'm curious to see what you think about this.
With the Matrix, yeah.
But you see, I mean, in the past, Microsoft has seemed to have a lot of different offerings to solve the same solution. Like between, let's just take, like you say, calendar is your example. For mm-hmm. We have a calendar inside SharePoint. We have a calendar inside of Exchange. Yeah. Which one's being used now? We have, like 15 different task management kind of things right now. We got Wunderlist. You have yeah. tasks inside of Outlook. You got tasks inside of Exchange. You got the tasks inside of SharePoint. Yeah. Are you seeing like this move towards groups and potentially, you know, being able to, by extension, Microsoft Teams, are you seeing that they're maybe starting to kind of bring that down a bit and try and come down to like one solution and bring it all from, even though you have different things provided by different product silos, for lack of a better
term? Yeah, I think that'll be
maybe
the
bringing it down to one.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that at the beginning, yes, mm-hmm. to provide this solution, but the reality of this new world that we're kind of going into is that there's going to be new products spinning off online every other week. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be something new that's going to pop that's going to be super popular. And then if it gets popular enough, Microsoft's going to make a version of it, put it inside of groups. And then you might show up with multiple ways of doing something similar. Mm-hmm. So Well, we're actually kind of seeing it already where people are confused. When do I use Outlook Conversations? When do I use Microsoft Teams for live chat? And when do I use Yammer? Because they all seem like they're doing conversations.
Yeah.
So I expect to see in the future probably more ways of doing similar things. But hopefully by then, IT and business will realize that does it really matter if we can apply a centralized authentication and authorization, you know, membership centralization with policies applied there, and then security policies that apply to the group, the activity that you're starting mm-hmm. off. Mm-hmm. Do I care that your team decides to manage their task in Wunderlist or in Planner?
Like, no, but still bringing it all together and having that same unified experience in a sense. I mean, or at least a one place to go to find it.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have the common navigation, but I'm sure that we will have products overlapping in the future.
Sure. I guess where I'm going with that is it seems that Office 365 groups and by extension Teams is giving us that central spot.
Yeah.
It's being that hub that
yes,
we can actually
yes.
go find
I could see
and
the
pull
teams
those things
being
together.
The hub,
I mean, yeah. We'll have different, I'm sure it's going back to Bill Gates and having different product groups coming up with the same different thing and trying to fight each other. Who's going to win, right? And also the ones on the outside too and having
yeah.
connectors and pulling those in as well.
But absolutely.
It's at least having one spot for everybody
yeah,
to go.
Absolutely.
So employees aren't sitting here like, well, where are we supposed to manage our tasks? Like, oh, in this team, we were doing it over here. So you got to go over here to go do it.
Yeah,
otherwise,
no,
you
got to
go over here. No. One spot, you come in for tasks in this one
Agreed.
Place. Yeah.
Mm.
I think people are worried about doing it wrong. Like,
yeah.
You know, you look at tasks in 365 and you're like, I don't want to do it wrong.
Yeah.
People want to, they want to pick the right way. And at the moment, it's just too much of a choice, right?
Yeah.
And they're not led down the heavy
no,
path.
No, you need that yeah. guidance, right? We're not removing that requirement for
yeah.
it. You need guidance, training. We're not saying open it up and do whatever you want. There's going to be a lot of guidance. I think that's the misconception where people are like, well, groups is too out of control. You can still control it, provide governance around that and control. And obviously, that, again, we're talking about SharegateIT here a little bit, but we also have, you know, when we do the migration, we allow people to choose whether they're going to migrate as a SharePoint standalone site collection or group connected. Mm-hmm. And then we have a bunch of things to manage groups as well, like security, membership, and a bunch of reports, like is there an external guest in the groups and alerts. So it's obviously something that's going to be a requirement and for many organizations to be able to stay in control and govern all of this. We're not just saying, open it up and
right.
go crazy.
No, and to clear, this isn't even just a Microsoft issue because we see this everywhere, right?
Yeah,
you're sitting down, I want to manage my tasks. You have tons of different options that are out there and it's you get that paralysis. I just went through it with the business I'm doing too, where are we going to go through an org and keep our stuff that everybody can have easy access to it? And it's like, well, to really try this out, we got to put a bunch of tasks inside of one of them. And it's like, well, you got to try each one out and find out which one's going to work the best for you. So
if you guys had to change the way you build your product or deliver new features to the product to cope with the sort of pace of change in 365
and new
things coming along, like what sort of things have changed at ShareGate over the last couple of years that have been driven by some of the stuff?
We got 7 minutes. No.
that you can share.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's actually been very interesting from our perspective because we were relatively new. I think I started 5 years ago and back then nobody knew us. So we just imported files from FileShare and upload them into SharePoint. And since then, I mean, there's been tons of changes both on SharePoint as well as online. And, you know, one of them is obviously recently where overnight they just stopped making sandbox solutions with code, which we require for migration or don't anymore. But before we would have a sandbox solution that was the only way to be able to keep certain properties during migration and just overnight that was gone. So that was definitely fun. But what we definitely saw a lot of things change. I think the core plumbing has relatively stayed the same. So that was easy. What was hard is going with the change in the vision, if I can say that. Migration is fun. I think we're pretty confident now. You know, if I sat here 5 years ago, I was probably going to hope that you weren't going to ask a specific question about migration because, you know, ShareGate doesn't support it. But today, I'm very confident that, you know, all of our customers can take it to migrate from FileShare, Google Drive, SharePoint on-prem, or from another tenant, use the migration API that we built with Microsoft and just bring that through the pipeline, Azure Blob Storage, and import jobs. Like speed-wise is great. What's been the challenge, it's not, you know, helping people move their workloads and all of that. The challenge has been, especially recently, with the change that we're talking about, is to be also able to provide a direction of where Microsoft is going, right? Being able to turn a SharePoint site collection into a SharePoint site collection connected to Office 5 groups and do it correctly because the template is not the same.
Wait, hold on. You mean they want you to start from like type a team name in and hit create a new one, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. They don't expect anybody to move from something else.
Yeah, no.
That scenario is...
No greenfield, huh?
Yeah. The world is more complex.
No, so we've seen quite a bit of things change. We've been trying to expand so that people that purchase ShareGate, we don't want to be known as the migration tool, though we are, obviously, for obvious reasons. But within the same license that people purchase, which, you know, I think is the only tool I can actually say the price, and it's going to be that price, which is $4,000, you know, that's... Okay, that's the price. It's not going to change based on gigabyte or support, or that's always fun. But we tried to expand. We said we don't want to be migration only, because if everybody moves to Office 5, of course they can use ShareGate migration to move their things. You know, when you got to reorganize, go from one site collection to another, merge, split apart. And since we don't charge by gigabyte, that allows them to do that. But we wanted to do more. So we added a lot of reporting, a lot of management features. One of our most popular tools is Permissions Matrix. Basically, where, and not the Matrix
Back
movie.
The Matrix. Yeah.
There's a common theme there, where you connect to a site collection or list or library, and it generates, you know, kind of an Excel table with the list of users and groups, and even the members of Active Directory groups if you want. So Joe inside the domain admins group, and you'll be able to see a little X on this table that says column full control, column contribute, column edit, column read, and you can actually export that into Excel and then give it to whoever owns that site collection or whoever asked to see who has access to what, because I have no clue what's going on in my site collection.
Making the identity guys happy again.
Exactly. So we got a bunch of features like this around reporting, because we saw a lot of people are looking to kind of know what they have, what's going on, the libraries that don't have versioning or sites that haven't been used in X amount of time. And of course, we want to be able to automate kind of that process. So we're adding scheduling of our reports as well. And while that transitioning is happening towards our management and reporting, we decided to also go web. So we have ShareGate Online that's currently kind of in preview with customers, but we want to release it very, very soon, probably in a month or two. And ShareGate Online is about being in constant control of Office 365. So what we mean by that is we're beginning with alerts. Whenever something is shared with an external user, here, send me an alert or send it to Joe, because he takes care of all of those site collections, their project site collections. He's going to want to be aware if somebody creates a subsite, or basically you create your own conditions, and based on what's happening, you get an alert. Now, Microsoft has something, but you have to have E5 to be able to create alerts. And it's not the same conditions and criteria. Then it's really around the tenant, if you want. But we are really taking the approach of the SharePoint aspect that we've owned. But I think the biggest challenge overall for us as a vendor, and I won't say who said this before, but it may have been from, no, I won't say this. I won't say where it was from, but somebody told me a year or 2 years ago, it's like, Ben, look, there's a lot of changes happening. You're talking about the change of pace, Office 365. Basically, if I could say it like that, he said there's probably going to be some, it's a bad word to say, but there's probably going to be some dead bodies. And meaning ISVs are not able to make that transition. You have to be in agile world. Yeah. You have to be able to transition. So you could have been a SharePoint vendor, but that's not going to be good enough anymore.
Right.
You have to be able to provide a group activity-based policies and bots and all of that. I cannot come and say, I have a SharePoint backup tool now.
Yeah.
Because it's always going to come as a group. So what about my calendar? What about my planner? What about my mailbox?
Well, it really seems like in the last, Office 365 has really done this, where we used to have these product silos, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, or whatever they were. But now it seems more with Office 365, those are really just kind of marketing kind of backgrounds, or that's really the way that Microsoft has organized it internally. But that's not how the products are all being sold and pitched to us. When I bought an E3, when I bought an E5, I didn't go for specific products. So like, this is the suite that I want. Very much like how Adobe does with their stuff, where I want to buy Creative Cloud, I'm going to drop $50 a month.
There you go.
And it's going to give me everything they have access to, even though there are engineers on the audition team or on the premiere team that don't talk to each other.
I also think people used to want to buy separate products, and now they're more comfortable with buying
a package,
package and productivity suite and all that. And they're more open to kind of buying something that does everything they need.
I think, I agree with you, and I think it helps because it keeps us from having to focus on the specific product and say, well, I think I need this. By being able to buy a suite, it's easier for me to make a decision going, I can self-select myself into this line of work.
Yeah.
This is what I need. And as that company adds more and more things to it, you can take advantage of it. So I agree.
It helps you do this stuff, and it helps you solve these problems, and it does it with a bunch of technology behind the scenes.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you're right too. I mean, you can't, as an ISV, you can't just be a SharePoint person or Exchange person or something.
Absolutely. No, it's exactly what we've been seeing. And I just came back from a hackathon, the Arctic SharePoint Challenge, which basically had almost no more SharePoint in there, which was very, very interesting. Is they, you know, it's like teams that break into, actually it was a Matrix theme, ironically enough. But in this theme of Matrix for the hackathon was people building things with the SharePoint groups, with bot framework, with IoT. It was incredible. With CRM, it was really fun to see that we're expanding from just one product. So if your team, that's going to reign true for all vendors if they want to survive.
Sure. Yeah. Or at least you want to survive, you want to grow, you want to adopt this, digital transformation.
Yeah. We have to say the buzzword.
Absolutely. Well, cool. I mean, is there anything else you want to share with us about ShareGate?
Of course, ShareGate, if you're interested in moving into the cloud, besides we've got content that helps you go there for free, like a migration checklist that I did with other MVPs, you're going to have to look at your customizations as well, mm-hmm. right? Because you might want to move to the SharePoint framework for your web parts, obviously, and you might want to just kind of change the way you do things for some part. But if you're interested in ShareGate, just remember the price is actually on the website, which mm-hmm. is always good. It's unlimited. The support is always included. You're able to migrate from things like site collections, but you can go granular to list libraries, map your users. So we've really, I think, owned very well that migration story. But within the same price, which within the same package, you also get things that you normally would go buy other products for, such as reporting, security management, permissions management, auditing, and now the ShareGate Online, which is around alerts and all of that instant notification and staying in control with Office 365, and all of that in that very affordable price that you can get. So check out the 15-day trial if you can. And otherwise, find me on Twitter at @BNylan. We're happy to answer your questions. Thanks again for inviting me here today with some fun Matrix discussions.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the links for ShareGate, links for the checklist as well, they're all in the show notes too.
Yep.
ShareGate's a sponsor of the podcast. We really do appreciate your support.
Thank you, of course.
And all of that information to those links, everything that's at the bottom of the show notes for all the episodes you guys get. So, hey Ben, thanks a lot for sitting down and talking to us.
Thank you very much. Let's get back to the show.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide us a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes for each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading to our website and entering your email to interact with us. Participate in upcoming interviews and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.